John chapter 1, and we have already considered the author of the book of John the Apostle, who the Lord used to pen this gospel, and then we've already looked last week at the audience, and the original audience we concluded was were the churches of Asia Minor, Ephesus, and the other churches of that region. And then, of course, we realized last week that this was written that people might believe on Jesus and have life through His name, and that the Lord's churches might know exactly who Jesus is, that they might truly be receiving, believing, preaching the actual Lord Jesus Christ. And you yourself need to be sure you have believed on Jesus, the real Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus of the Gnostics, who John was often combating, Paul also was in Colossians, not the Jesus of the Roman Catholic Church, or the Jesus of the cults, or the Jesus of Hollywood, or even a Jesus that you've constructed in your own imagination as you think, well, I think Jesus would have that, and I think Jesus would have this. No, actually know who He is, and believe and preach Him. In John 1, 1-18, we see who Jesus is, and I believe we could simply say, receive and preach the Word made flesh. John presents, first of all, the Word made flesh in this first paragraph. So be sure that you have received the Word made flesh and that you are preaching the Word made flesh. For all who do not believe on Him are condemned, and all who do believe on Him have everlasting life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. That's the apostles. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Heavenly Father, we ask You, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, add Your blessing to the Word of God that has been read, and now to the preaching of the Word of God. Instruct us, correct us, teach us, change us. Do Thy will with this, we pray, for Thy glory. In Jesus' name, as I said, amen. Let's look today at the Word in eternity past. Or let's put it this way, the Word in the beginning would be better. The Word at creation and giving life and light. That's main point number one, if you're taking an outline. The Word in the beginning at creation and giving life and light. And then the witness of the New Testament era to the Word. The first witness in the New Testament era to the Word. And then let's look at, let's go that far for now. We'll talk about more later. Probably tonight we'll have to be back here. But the Word in the beginning at creation and giving life and light. John starts with, in the beginning. In the beginning. Now, what's the beginning? Well, it's just simple. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning of all space, time, and the material universe. In the beginning. In the beginning what? That's the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Not in the beginning began the Word. Are we clear on that? Very important. You want to believe on the real Jesus. Not in the beginning began the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Already there. Already there. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. When was He with God? Well, He was with God in the beginning, because He'd always been with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The word with is very important. You need to really be sure that you grab onto the word with. The word with God demands that there's two distinct personalities that John's writing about. Now we know in the Godhead there are three: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But here John is speaking of two distinct personalities. The word with is a preposition. With demands two. You cannot have with without meaning, here's this with that. Him with him. Her with him. With means there's more than one. Someone, something. With. Now you have these false teachers like T.D. Jakes, who calls himself a oneness believer. And they say there's not three in one. There's not the Godhead. They say there's only the one personality. I do not say that they're separate, but I say they're distinct. Amen? Because they're totally unified. But with, this verse right here, that word with is a major place to make a major point of doctrine when you're talking about God, Jehovah. Jehovah the Father, Jehovah the Son, Jehovah the Holy Spirit. It's a major place to go right here. With demands more than one personality. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word. Now, you say, but it's just a word. Uh-huh, but the Christian faith is built on words, on the Word of God. And anyone that says they believe the Bible and they believe the words, the Word of God, and the words are inspired words, then you can say, there's that word. You have to deal with that word. You have to submit to that word. If you don't want to believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, then you're not submitting to the Bible. Because with, very important. Those that say there's no Trinity, well, the Bible disagrees with them. God the Father and God the Son were both in the beginning, and you know it because the preposition with. Since there is someone with and there's another someone or something with them. Two distinct personalities, but one in essence, and one in unity. This is very important. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. So God is God. And the Word was God. The Word is also God. Amen. This is Christian doctrine. This is ancient. If you don't have this, you don't have Christian doctrine. You understand that? This is Bible Christian doctrine. So God is God, God the Father, and the Word is God also. God the Father and God the Son, co-eternal, equally glorious. In John 17:5, John, remember, he's teaching you who Jesus is. In John 17:5, he records that Jesus prayed, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So before the beginning of all space, time, material, universe. The same was in the beginning with God. The word same is talking about the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same Word was in the beginning with God. John wants it to be very clear. Now, John is not laying out an exhaustive lecture concerning the Godhead. He's not answering every question so that we can understand every detail of the relationship and function of the Trinity. And I'll give you maybe something that'll be a blessing to you. It might take a little load off your shoulders. You don't have to understand and grasp every detail and function of the Trinity, and you don't have to be able to explain all of that. Honestly, I was intimidated by this passage until I remembered. John just kept it real simple. Just bang, bang, bang. Just lays it out there. John's point he's getting to is that the Word was made flesh. How do I comprehend in the beginning and even in eternity past the Word, the Father, the Holy Spirit, three but one? How do I comprehend this? How do I make sense? How do I explain all this? I don't believe I have to. I don't believe I have to somehow break it all down any further than the Bible breaks it down. That's where people get in trouble. They try to break down things further than the Bible does. What John's doing in writing this gospel is seeking to convince the reader that they should believe on Jesus, the actual Jesus. So he's stating these facts. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. And then he talks about the Word at creation. So the Word in the beginning, the Word in the creative process. All things were made by Him. That's clear, isn't it? And John wants to make sure we don't miss this, we really get this. So redundancy is on display right here. You ready? All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, John, you just said the same thing twice. Yes, I did. It's redundancy. Brother Mitch, why is there redundancy in security? It's for security. It's for safety. We want to protect something. Some of you maybe have very important electrical equipment, and so you have a surge protector, and then you have another surge protector, and then you have a backup battery that automatically comes on. If all this other does, it's called redundancy. Our military has redundant systems, don't they, Brother Gutch, for security. Why? Because they're trying to preserve our liberty and these people. In the preservation of the truth, there's often redundancy. It's for security and safety. Amen. What's a sprinkler system? You got smoke alarms, now you have a sprinkler system. Redundancies. Redundant measures. This is the faith once delivered to the saints. John says, you better understand, all things were made by Him. And to be really clear, class, there's nothing made that He didn't make. There was not anything made without Him that was made. So without Him was not anything made that was made. So think about this now. You could start in Genesis 1. And then you could read through Job. And then you could get on a ship, sail all over the ocean. And you could dive down in the waters in a submarine. And you could go as deep as you could go, and you could send robots and cameras. And you could come up out of the submarine, get back on the ship, and make your way to a desert. You could cross all the deserts. And you could climb every mountain. You could go down to the caves. You could dig holes in the earth. You could drill down for miles. You could launch rockets and look and examine and study and get a microscope and research and listen. And you could take animals all apart and dig down in and deeper and deeper and deeper, molecular level, what microscopes. You could go so far. You can go as far as you possibly can go on this planet and everywhere else, as far as you can possibly go. And then you better realize everything you've seen and heard and everything you have smelled or felt or tasted and everything else that nobody even knows about other than God, all of it was made by the Word. Who's the Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 14. That word, the word that John the Baptist bore witness to, the word that was the world maker, but the world knew him not. The world that came unto his own, and his own received him not. The word that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The word who was beheld by John, Andrew, Peter, Bartholomew, Thaddeus, the rest of them, that same word. The word who was described as full of grace and truth. The word who John identifies in verse 18 as the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. The word that John states brought us grace and truth. The anointed, the Christ, God the Son, who at his entrance into the world received a name. The name identifying him as a man, humanity. The Word became flesh without ceasing to be the Word, who received a name that was given him by God through an angel, Jesus. Amen. The Word. By him were all things made, and without him was not anything made that was made. John plainly reveals who this is, as he says in verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The Word became flesh. You better know who the Word is. Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And so, friends, God the Son, the Christ, the Anointed, the Word, who received the name Jesus, that one and only, the Word, created all things. Now, you might say, but wait a moment. Doesn't it say in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created, and isn't God Elohim, and isn't that plural? Absolutely. And God said, let us make man in our own image. So us, the three, right? Absolutely. Amen. But let's be very clear about this. God created all things, but to be distinct and to be particular, and we're supposed to be particular in our understanding. We're supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Distinctly, the Word, God the Son, was the one of the Godhead by whom the activity of creation took place. He was the agent in creation. You need to understand that. This is Christian doctrine. This is Christian doctrine. And so there was discussion among the three in one in Genesis 1. In eternity past, we must, I imagine that there was discussion and there was planning. But when it was actual, that time, that point, I don't even know how to describe it, and you have eternity, and then all of a sudden, Jesus steps out, the Word steps out and says, now time begins, created time. God created, right? But Jesus is the agent in creation. That's what the grammar of all this demands. Jesus, the Word, creates time, space, material universe. Praise the Lord. All involved in some aspects. Genesis says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, but the Word created all things. The Word is the one who spoke and said, let there be light. Amen. The Word is the one who, and we see in Job, laid the foundations of the earth, who created the morning stars who sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. The Word is the one who divided the light from the darkness and called the light day, and the darkness he called night. The Word said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. The Word said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And the Word called the dry land earth. And he never said Mother Earth. And it's a false religion that says Mother Earth. But he called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. What the Word did. And the Word created all the grass and the herbs and the fruit trees and the sun and the moon and the stars and the birds and the sea life. And the Word formed man out of the dust of the ground. And the Word breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Word planted a garden in eastward in Eden, and the Word caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And the Word took one of Adam's ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God, it says in Genesis, the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman. He made the rib a woman. That is what it says. And brought her unto the man. Amen. The one who was the agent of the Godhead in creation is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. There's not anything made that was made without Him. Even the Word even created the lake of fire for the devil and his angels. And everyone that won't believe on the Word will be in the lake of fire with the devil and his angels for all of eternity. If you don't believe on this Jesus Christ, you don't have eternal life. Your name's not in the book of life. And if you don't repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh, you'll be in that place He created for the devil and his angels. Now, as I said, this is Christian Bible doctrine. This is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. John, remember, tells you in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, you better have the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And if anyone comes without the doctrine of Jesus Christ, don't bid them Godspeed. Don't let them into your home. Anyone that claims to be a Christian teacher at all, don't accept anything but the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. Is John alone in this matter of saying the Word created all things? Listen to what Paul wrote in Colossians. He wrote that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, and that's a title that concerns his headship. He's not saying Jesus was the firstborn, like he was created on the first day of creation or something, but firstborn is a title, headship. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The invisible God, the Word was with the invisible God. No man has seen God at any time. Amen? He dwells in a light that no man can approach to. God is a spirit and does not have a body like man. But the Word is the image of the invisible God. It's just the greatest stuff to talk about in all the world and to think about. It's just so good to think on these things and talk about this. Listen what Paul says. For by Him were all things created. Now Paul's going to make it. He's going to really make sure we get this like John. All things, right? That are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him, the Word, all things consist. You know what? We're getting the answer to what the most intellectual, intelligent, deepest thinkers that have ever lived have tried to comprehend and try to get the answers of these things. And if they won't submit to this Word, they never get the answer. This is it. This is the key to everything. This is it. Where did we come from? Where's everything going? How's it all held together? How's it working? The Word. The Word who became flesh. Hebrews begins like this. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He, God the Father, hath appointed heir of all things, listen now, by whom also He made the worlds. Who's the agent in creation? The Word. Who made all things? The Word. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His, the Father's, person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Why aren't the planets all just flying off every which direction? Why isn't this pulpit coming all apart? Why do these molecules hold together? Why is the nitrogen, oxygen, hydrogen, why is it all balanced just right here on planet Earth for us? Why? Because the Word, that's why. He set it all up. He organized it. He's keeping it together. And one day, 2 Peter says he'll let it all go, and the Word, he'll just loose it. He'll just let go. And the whole thing just melts down with a fervent heat, blows up, explodes, new heaven and a new earth. I mean, all he's got to do is just let go. I would fear him. I'd reverence him. I'd follow him and love him and serve him. Listen to this. By whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Purged our sins. Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Sat down at his Father's right hand. Praise the Lord. The Word in the beginning. The Word at creation. But let's keep reading in this first passage in John. And let's keep considering here as we see the Word giving life and light. The Word giving life and light. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Word, it was with God, was God, all things made by him. The same Word, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, some will say, okay, this is human life and reason. I can't see that myself when I've looked at how the word life is used in John. Now, in John, you can find at times life just meaning life. I mean, we get to be alive. But overwhelmingly, John uses the word life to refer to spiritual life. Spiritual life. And I think you can see that in the sense of this and reading it. In him was life. Now, just natural life, you know, breathing, heart beating and all, is there really light there? But in him was life, and the life was the light of men. I want you to think about this. This phrase in John 8:12, where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the, anyone know? Light of life. The light of life. The light of eternal life. The light of spiritual life. Now with that verse in mind, look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I don't see how that could be speaking of human life, intellect, reason. When I know from the Bible that from the creation of Adam, there was spiritual life offered by the Word to man. I mean, the Word walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden, right? In the cool of the evening in the garden. And when they sinned, he confronted them with their sin. And he gave them coats of skin to cover themselves. And he promised them that one would come that would bruise the serpent, right? Bruise the head of the serpent. Well, that, what was that? That was life. The Word himself having life and giving light. The light of life. Did Abel have light? Absolutely. He had light and he pleased God. He worshipped in an acceptable way. And he was a prophet, Jesus said. And certainly Abraham had light. Where did he get the light? He got it from the life. Who's the life giver? Who's the life holder? Spiritual. The Word. And certainly Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. Nebuchadnezzar. The prophets. Israel. Think about this. 1 Peter 1:11 states that the Spirit of Christ. Now listen. The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ was in the prophets. The Old Testament prophets. 1 Peter 1:11. They penned the Scripture because the Spirit of Christ was testifying in them. That's life. And that life was the light of men. The prophets were light bearers. Prophets gave light. 1 Peter 3 also reveals that Christ himself is the one who preached through Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but who was at work there? Christ was. The Word. Christ. before he was incarnate, before he became flesh and dwelt among us, he was working through his people on earth. The life was giving light unto men. David himself wrote about God the Father and God the Son in the Old Testament. Amen or not? Agur did in Proverbs 30. Nebuchadnezzar looked in that fire and said, there's four, and one of them looks like the Son of God. How did he know about that? Because there was life from the Word that was lighting men who were preaching and teaching the truth. God was working in the Old Testament era. And yet there are those who did not receive the light. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Cain did not receive the light. Pharaoh did not receive the light of life. And on you could go, speaking of those who did not receive it. The word comprehend. Some of these modern textual critics will say, oh, it's not a good word, comprehend. It should mean it didn't overtake the light, or it didn't snuff out the light. No, it doesn't. It's not what it means. It means comprehend. It means it couldn't understand it. It couldn't get it. It couldn't grasp it. It couldn't lay hold on it. Look up the Greek word behind it. That's what it means. It means it couldn't comprehend it. It couldn't take it in. It couldn't accept it. It didn't want to accept it. It wouldn't receive the light of life. The darkness wouldn't. The darkness. Well, Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Jesus said, everyone that's of the truth and light and all will come to the light. He said, you don't want light, because you're darkness, your deeds are evil. So the darkness comprehended it not. In the Old Testament, the darkness comprehended it not. People like Balaam didn't comprehend it, didn't receive it, didn't take it, didn't hold to it, didn't grasp it. People like Korah, with all the light, he was surrounded by light, but he didn't comprehend it. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So even before the Word became flesh, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Before the Word became flesh, he was lighting the way for spiritual life, eternal life, but the darkness comprehended it not. Now, if you look at verses 1 to 5, they're so connected. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness, it's all connected. See that? You need to know who the Word is. The Word in the beginning. The Word in creation. The Word giving life and light. But then the next portion here of the same paragraph, verses 6 to 8, the witness to the Word. Remember, John wants you and me and everybody to believe on Jesus and have eternal life. Amen? Remember the key verse. He's written these things you may believe. So John the Apostle is introducing his first witness. Now, at this point, he's not letting the witness speak. He's just calling him to the witness stand. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So he's saying, okay, John, here's John, our first witness. John's not talking yet. John's going to talk later. Then in verse 15, we'll see him talk. But right now, he's just called it, John the Apostle's calling. John the Baptist is the first witness why you ought to believe on Jesus, who he's describing as the Word who became flesh in this paragraph. A witness. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. It's fascinating. The Greek word, martyrion. Does that sound like anything? Martyrion. He's a martyr. That's what the word witness is in the Bible. It's God wants you to be a martyr. He wants me to be a martyr. He wants his people to be martyrs, witnesses. See, we think of the word martyr as someone who gets killed for their testimony and all. Well, yes, but what that is they had a witness. And they died for their witness. They wouldn't turn away from telling the truth. It's bearing witness. And so every Christian's called to be a martyr in the sense of called to be a witness all the way to the point of death. And John was one who was privileged to actually die for his witness that he gave. He was, even in the sense of how we use the word martyr today, he was a martyr. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, John does not give a lot of details. John the Apostle in this gospel doesn't give a lot of details. We know that Luke gives details concerning John the Baptist's parents, concerning John the Baptist's conception, even some details about John the Baptist's time in his mother's womb. Right? And we know that other gospel writers write about John's apparent seclusion until his time of preaching and gives more details of his sermons. Mark writes about his diet, his unique diet, and his rough dress. John doesn't say really anything about these because John has a very simple point, and that is that you need to know who Jesus is, and John is the first witness called up to talk about who Jesus is. So he doesn't go into a lot of those details. That's not the point of his gospel. But he does say a man sent from God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. God sent His Son into the world, but just a few months before His Son really came on the scene to do His ministry, God sent another man, not the Word, but one to bear witness of the Word. God, the Father, sent. Now, by the way, again, when these people say, oh, no, we're oneness. We're oneness. We deny Trinity. How if they're one in every aspect, and so there's no distinct personalities in the Trinity, then how did God send? Amen? How did God send His Son? They say Jesus is the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. He's all three, and it's oneness. Jesus only, they call themselves. A lot of people believe this. Well, then how did God send if there's this oneness idea that they claim? And He was with. The Word was with God. But John was a man sent from God. Sent not to be the Word, not to die on the cross for our sins, be raised again, but to bear witness of the light. How did he bear witness of the light? By preaching and baptizing. And you can read that in verses 29 to 34 of the same chapter. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said. He'd been preaching for a while. This is him there. This is what I've talked about, preached about. I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Wait a minute, John. About 6 months older than him. No. Not by a long shot. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the Word. He was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me, God the Father, God. He, a man sent from God. He that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. John's not saying, I didn't know Jesus, my cousin. He's saying, I didn't realize he was the Word. Because God in his plan and wisdom, God the Father had sent John to preach, and John may have wondered if it was Jesus. It'd be kind of hard not to notice your cousin never sins. I mean, perfect, you know. He might have wondered. But God the Father said, this is the plan. The one you see the Spirit descending and remaining, that's the one. And so God sent John to preach and then to baptize that he might make manifest the Word unto Israel. He could say, when I baptized him, the Spirit descended like a dove. It remained upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw. Witness, right? What's a witness tell? What they saw. Amen? And I saw and bear record. Put it down in the record. I'm a witness that this Jesus of Nazareth, this is the Son of God. This is the Word. the witness, man sent from God, to bear witness of the light by pointing people to Jesus, people he had been sent to prepare for the Lord. Luke 1, he was sent to prepare a people for the Lord. Look at John 1, 35 to 37. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, who's he talking to? His two disciples. People prepared for the Lord. He saith, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and as they'd been trained, and they followed Jesus. He'd been training them for that. So he baptizes Jesus. He said, okay, he's the one. The one that sent me said, oh, he's the one. So the next day, behold the Lamb of God, and those two disciples, they followed. Amen, amen. The witness, John the Baptist. Let's turn back now to where we were reading in verse 7. We need to conclude here for this morning. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That all men through him might believe. Do you care about grammar? Do you care about the Word of God? Do you care about words? We interpret Scripture by the normal grammatical usage. Now, you won't find a Bible scholar anywhere, I don't believe, that'll disagree with what I'm going to say, but it might shock you. You can check all the grammarians and all of them. I've checked a bunch this week. This isn't some off-the-wall kooky Baptist thing. This is what it says. That all men through him might believe. The him is John the Baptist. Some people don't want to hear that. Oh, I thought it was that all men through Jesus might believe. No, it's that all men through John might believe. That's grammar. And if grammar doesn't matter and grammar doesn't count, then you might as well close the Bible and go play with something else. Because it's a book and it's written with words and it's sentences, and that's what the grammar demands. It shouldn't even be a controversy. Listen to me. He was in the world. Excuse me. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 7. Sorry again. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, through the witness of John, might believe. Now, why would that upset some people? Because you have a Baptist preacher that God says people had to believe through him. Couldn't other people be preaching the truth at the same time? In God's plan, it was that through John, people would believe. Well, I want to believe, but I don't want to believe. He's crazy. He eats locusts, wild honey, wears a camel skin. I don't want to believe through him. He's loud. He's dogmatic. He's weird. He lives out of the deserts. He comes in and calls people serpents and snakes. No, send me someone from up in Jerusalem. Send me someone who's got couth. Amen. Send me someone who fits more with our idea of what we want in the big city. No, John's the one. Now, think on this. John preached and baptized. What a pivotal man, and what a pivotal point in the history of God's work. John preached and baptized. Then Jesus, after being baptized of John, preached and baptized. And who did Jesus give authority to preach and baptize to? To his church. And that authority has been on down to his other churches. And to this very day, think on this, to this very day, men through John are believing. Not believing on John. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. But I will say this, I'm a Baptist because I'm going to heaven. Amen. Because I am saved, I want to be a Baptist. But to this very day, men are believing through John. Not on John, believing on Jesus, but God put in his word that all men through John might believe. Now, if you don't like that, you don't want it, you don't want to accept that, then you can't accept, grammar doesn't mean anything, so you can just play silly putty with every verse of the Bible you want to play with. Just work it all around, make it mean whatever you want. And that's what people will do. That's what the oneness crowd will do with these things like the with and sent and all. They'll play games with it. But people of the book will say, we believe the book. That's the same Acts 2:38. You know, repent. and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't want to let words and sentence structure and all matter, then you can say you got to be baptized to be saved. But if sentence structure matters, and if grammar matters, and if case endings and all that stuff, we don't like to go into all that too much, but if it matters, and it does matter, God chose to communicate through words, precise, right? If it does matter, then Acts 2:38 does not teach baptismal regeneration. It teaches you repent, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you get baptized because of the remission of sins. Praise God. But if you don't like grammar and don't want that and don't want to accept that, then you might as well just take up something else other than being a Bible student. But if you're saved, you are a Bible student. Amen. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. I want you to think about this. What a testimony to the character of John the Baptist that God had to put it in his word. John is not Jesus. He's not the Word. He's not the light. That had to be penned, I'm sure, because of how John lived. You know why I say that? Because when Jesus asked, "Whom say men that I am?" What the first thing the disciples, they say, "You're John the Baptist." Herod was convinced. I mean, he kind of got nutty. He was like, his brain was, his mind was messing with himself and all, because of he'd sent and he killed John the Baptist. And he said, he's come back from the dead. He's back. It was Jesus. Herod couldn't tell the difference between Jesus and John the Baptist. And it's not because they both had big beards. It's not because they were cousins. No, it's because of how they lived and served God. And John the Apostle had to say, John the Baptist was not that light. It was sent to bear witness of that light. And Jesus and his apostles had to say, Jesus is not John the Baptist. I wonder if I lived back then, or if any of us lived back then, if people would confuse us with Jesus. It'd be a good testimony, wouldn't it? But John was a prominent witness, and a privileged witness, and a pious witness. Let's finish with verse 9 for this morning. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What's that mean? The Word is the true light, which lighteth every man. Is everybody saved? Everybody's automatically saved? They come. Yeah, you're born, come into the world. Would you believe some of these guys say, bad translation. I don't. Anybody that does that when they're preaching, I'm done right then. You say that about the King James Bible, bad translation. No, I'm done right then. For 400 years, the Lord's churches have accepted this as God's words translated into English, and God's words in our language. And I don't believe for one minute I've read about those men that did the translating for the King James Bible. I don't think there's anybody today that can shine their shoes, basically. And you talk about redundancies for safety and security and all the different plans that they put in place to be sure that this was done accurately. And all. It's not a, they say it should be, that was a true light that came into the world, which lighteth every... No, that was a true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This makes sense with other scripture. Listen to what Romans 1:19 says. That which may be known of God is manifest in them. It's a lost people. That which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Listen to verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain, silly, empty, foolish, ridiculous in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We're talking about light and dark in Romans 1, just like we're talking about light and dark in John 1. And we're saying that people, their foolish hearts and minds were darkened. In chapter 2, verse 14 of Romans, you read this, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law..." Gentiles weren't given the Old Testament law and scriptures, but the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature. Nature. It's like programmed, you know. Do by nature the things contained in the law. Like all over the world, they had societies of Gentile people without the law, but they said, no, you're not committing adultery. No, we're not doing those things. No, you can't just murder somebody and get away with it. Where'd they get that from? Paul tells you. Do by nature the things contained in the law. These, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing them or excusing one another. Yeah. Why is it you can even to this day find tribes of people and places have had no contact with the modern world, and they have law, and they have issues of conscience and all? Because God's written that in. He's programmed that in. Solomon said in Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. I think that's conscience. I think when John here says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh in the world, I think he's simply saying the Word, God the Word, God the Son, puts in every person the light of conscience. Now, what do they need to do? Respond to that light. It's not going to make them saved to respond to conscience. I'll go by my conscience and always let it be my guide and I'll be in heaven. No, no, that's not so. But they do need to respond to that light and then respond to more light as God gives it and more light until ultimately the light of the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ, however, round the world for these 6,000 or so years, people typically sin against their conscience. Amen. That conscience is making like a foghorn and flashing lights. Turn back, stop. They press on. And conscience can be warped by environment, by things going on around. People in a village can have conscience, but then they begin to talk among themselves. They say, but we want to do these things. Let's declare them to be moral. Let's declare them to be okay. Let's have some laws. Let's change some things. Conscience can get warped. Until then, there's not alarm bells. And even the physical body somehow relates to the conscience. Blushing. Amen? Heart racing. But you can warp your conscience. And you can have your conscience warped by observing things around you. And by listening and hearing and vexing yourself and seeing and watching and then even participating, you can mar a conscience. The Bible says consciences can be seared, cauterized. Amen. This is what I'm convinced of. You think about this. I think anyone everywhere that God's ever made, He's put conscience in them. We know that from Scripture. He's put conscience in. And people that are humble and who will receive the preaching of the conscience, the accusation of the conscience, they'll receive it with holy remorse and regret. And they want cleansing. And they receive the light that God does give. God gives grace to the humble. And light received increases light, somebody said. And light refused increases darkness. You know, there are missionaries who've gone places. And they started to preach, and the people said, we've been praying, not knowing who to pray to, we've been praying that someone would come and tell us. Because we knew. We knew that there's something, there's someone, and we need him. And the missionary says, well, now I can tell you about him. People, like, they've been humble with the little bit of light they had. But one of the worst things that's happened in our country is we are on a wholesale mission to sear everybody's conscience. And our president's involved in it. And our other government leaders are involved. And our judges are involved. And the entertainment industry is involved in it. And, I mean, the movies and the television and the songs and on and on and on, all the way down to just teenagers pecking away on the internet, writing blogs, telling every, glorying in their sin and telling other teenagers. I used to feel bad about these things, but I found out I'm free. I can do what I want. You can too. There's a wholesale rush. There's an absolute mission. It's a mission from hell. It's from the Antichrist, from Satan, but to sear everybody's conscience. Because if we can get everybody to where nobody feels bad about a thing, they're nothing but animals. Whatever you want to do, just go by your feelings. Just satisfy your flesh. Whatever you feel like, do it. If it feels good, do it. If we can go there, then Romans 1 continues, wherefore God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And then reprobate on and on and on until it's just basically hell on earth. And so you have to remember also, this is very important to remember, John was dealing with these Gnostics who claimed, remember Brother Dan, the Gnostics, only a few people had the special light. The Gnostics. And if you would just get special with them and you could be as special as they are and get their secret stuff and all, you could get the special light too. And John says, now here's the real thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the light was, life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, the Word, that all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which doesn't just give light to a few select pinheads. Secret society, Babylonian mystery stuff and all. No. But lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so that's the Word in the beginning, the Word in creation, and there's the Word, the witness of the Word, of course. I said the Word in the beginning, the Word in creation, the Word giving life and light, and then the witness to the Word. Lord willing, next time we'll talk about the Word made flesh, verses 10 to 18. As we are wanting to be sure, we receive and preach the Word, the actual Jesus, the Word made flesh. Do you want to hear more about this? I tell you, I can't. I don't know why I didn't preach in John years ago. This is the greatest thing possible. Let's stand together. I just am so blessed by studying this and preaching it. And may the Lord give us grace to learn and to grow in the knowledge and the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you yourself received the Word who was made flesh? Or have you received some imitation, some facsimile, some distortion, some other idea? Oh, be sure that you know Jesus. And be sure that we're preaching Jesus. And that we're obeying Jesus. And we're singing to Jesus. And we're giving to Jesus and serving Jesus. This is, it's all important. I mean, it's all important. It's everything. You miss this, you could be the most devoted religious person that's ever lived and be in hell one day. Father, we thank You that we can consider these wonderful, amazing truths. We're so unworthy to read this, to consider these, to meditate on these, to talk about these, to hear these. We thank You that by Your grace You sent Your Son. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. I pray that each one would search their own heart this morning. We'd be sure that we know Jesus and we're actually singing to Him, serving Him, loving Him, preaching Him. For we must receive and preach the Word made flesh. Let's have total quiet for a couple moments while we think on these things.